Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is not only able to feed us, make us strong and give us life, but your word is able to bring us healing. So this morning, as we look to you, may you open our eyes to experience your love, to see your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. A very good morning, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Tak Meng, and I always consider it a great privilege to preach God's word in St. Andrew's Cathedral. As I look out across the congregation, I see many old friends. By that, I don't mean that you are old. That means we have been friends for a while. Even as, by God's grace, I had the chance to enter into full-time ministry beginning here in the cathedral. This morning, I'm very happy that the cathedral has set aside the services throughout this day as our community services Sunday. And it is my purpose today to give us a quick overview of what are the community services that God has led our diocese to establish over the years. But also, Canon Terry Wong informed me that we are also celebrating today as Mental Health Awareness Day. And I think that is something so important, and I will touch a little bit on that. And to maybe hear the voice of the Spirit saying to us, how does the Lord want us to play a part in the way that He brings healing to people living with mental illness? So there's a slide that will be coming on, a series of slides, which I hope will guide us through as we try to catch a glimpse of what God is doing in our church today. We thank God that over the years, our pioneers in the years past have established two important social service institutions. One of them is the St. Andrew's Mission Hospital. It was established in 1913. So this year, it is 105 years old. And the other institution is a bit more recent. Singapore Anglican Community Services was established in 1967. And last year, we just celebrated our 50th anniversary. By God's grace, over the past 15 years, these two organizations have been given the trust to set up more and more centers all across Singapore, because over the past decades, by God's grace, working through the hands of many of our forebears, the early ones being missionaries from overseas, but eventually our Singapore local Christian Anglican leaders and members have stepped up to continue the services. By God's grace, the services have impacted thousands and thousands of people, and the trust has been given to us to set up a slew of different services, as you can see on this slide. And our services are basically concentrating on a few areas. As you can see, our largest concentration is in elder care. I think that is providential, because as we know, our population in Singapore is aging, and more we'll be needing these services. I'm very grateful, because I think one day I'll be staying in one of these homes and making use of one of these services, whether it's physiotherapy or daycare or dementia or post-operation rehabilitation and so on and so forth. We have a total of 14 centers that caters to seniors in different areas, either medically or socially. Because part of caring for them is not only to treat them when they're unwell, but also to keep them as well as possible for as long as possible. And when they do become unwell, to make that journey towards the end of our life to be as smooth, as peaceful, and as meaningful an experience as it can be. So this is an area in which we are still learning much, because it is only in recent years that we have gone into areas like palliative care to recognize that our goal in caring for a total person is not only to help a person to live as long as possible, but also for us as we reach the end of our life, how do we leave this earth physically with dignity and with good closure as far as our relationships, our hopes and dreams are concerned, but also more importantly, as we leave this life, where is our hope of where we will be going? So we hope that through these elder care services, many will be blessed. But the other big cluster that we see in our Anglican community services is in the area of mental health. And you'll notice that it is quite a significant number. We have a total of 7 Anglican care centers. We have debated over the word to use, but no matter which combination, we always come back to the word care. Because for people who are suffering with mental health disorders, what they need is not our judgment, what they need is our care. And we have, by God's grace, the opportunity to see many people recover, not only their health, their relationships, but even their ability to function and to work. And we also have put in place a system whereby we have community mental health workers to keep those who have returned to the community in contact and enable them to remain well as long as possible. And at the first sign that they are not coping, we are able to offer them the help that they need before it deteriorates further. So this is a very important work, and I'll mention more about that later. Two other areas that we have gone into in more recent years, one is autism. And of course, I think by now, many of us know about autism. This is also a fast-growing area, growing in the sense of expanding of services into more life stages. When we came onto the scene, there was already much work going on in early intervention, but not much work going on among young people with moderate to severe autism. We were one of the early pioneers in this work, as well as helping people with autism to have a meaningful life as an adult. Come end of this year, a new building in Sengkang will be ready, and we'll be receiving referrals next year for residents to live in an adult autism home, likely for the rest of their lives. This is catering to the second half of life, where parents of people with autism are no longer around or no longer fit enough to care for their needs. And of course, we hope as many of them as possible will be looked after by their siblings and be cared for the rest of their life in their own family setting. But there will be a number, hopefully not a large number, that would need to be cared for by the community, and that would be us. So it is a new phase, it's a new experience, even in the entire sector, to have a home where more than 200 people with autism will be making their home for the rest of their lives. So we do ask for your prayer, because while the trust has been given to us, that trust comes with much challenges, and we take on that trust with much fear and trembling. So the others, of course, student care. The cathedral has launched city community services. It's making a big impact among students who do not have homes that they can go to after school, and they need our care during office hours. We also have a crisis shelter for women and children who are victims of domestic violence. And we also have a ministry to seafarers. As we know, our port is one of the busiest, and our prosperity is built on the backs, literally, of people who ply the seas, operating ships. And these are people like you and me. They have families. They feel lonely. They have needs. They fall sick. They have accidents. They get unfairly treated from time to time. They have emptiness, and they have spiritual needs and social needs, just like you and me. But out in the ocean, where do you find such needs to be met? You can't. So during the short time that they call on shore, the Mission to Seafarers provide a place of contact, a place of friendship, and if there are needs, even when they go back to work on the seas, we continue to follow up on shore to see how we can help them as much as possible. So by God's grace, we have been entrusted with this slew of services. I must say something before I move on to the next topic, and that is that none of these will be possible just on the basis of finance, on the basis of technology, and on the basis of good management. I believe the X factor is the way that we see people who suffer in these areas, the way we see them as souls, precious souls, created in the image of God. And they are not just a disease, a problem to be dealt with and to be managed. They are precious souls. And as much as God loves them, and gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to redeem them for eternity, God is not only interested to love their spirit only, but God loves us as a total person. And this is what has moved Anglicans and other Christians over the years to demonstrate the gospel. I like the collect that we prayed just now, and we thank God that by the Spirit's gift, He has equipped us to live the gospel of Christ. I hope that we do not see these medical and community services as merely good works. We are human, so we do good works. I think it's more than that. As Christians, we do good works because it is a demonstration of the love of God. The same love that sent Jesus to die on the cross. The same love that the gospel is all about. So as we preach the gospel in the pulpit, with our friends over coffee, we share our testimonies. But that same gospel also moves us to mobilize resources, to use our best knowledge, to spend time, and to give our energy, whether as a professional or as a volunteer, so that this love can be made concrete and experienced by people who have come into those needs at a particular stage in their lives. So I do ask for our prayers that we continue to see God move in our various community services. One particular area I want to just zoom in on a little bit because it's Mental Health Awareness Sunday. There's the next slide on mental health issues. There was a survey conducted by the Institute of Mental Health in 2010 on the state of mental health of our nation, Singapore. And it has come up with some pretty alarming findings. What alarmed me, the first thing that caught my attention, is the prevalence of mental illness among residents in Singapore. Prevalence meaning that at least once in your life, you would experience a mental health issue. It's about 12%. That's one in eight people would experience, to different degrees, some mild, some more severe, some form of mental health challenge. Now, how do you put that in perspective? Last year, in his National Day message, Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong highlighted the problem or the challenge of diabetes in Singapore. You know what's the prevalence of diabetes in Singapore? One in nine. That means mental health is slightly more serious, slightly more common, slightly more of a problem, even than diabetes. And yet, you don't hear mental health being talked about or mental illness being prayed over or talked about and cared for. We will have no qualms about saying that, please pray for me, I have diabetes. But I think there'll be very few, much fewer people who say, please pray with me, I have schizophrenia. And if they did try, then I do not know how others will react. So in a sense, mental illness is different in a number of ways. It is the same as any other sickness. It is organic. It is a sickness of the brain. It is caused, and the symptoms are caused by the brain's inability to cope with the challenges of life through the production and the regulation of what we call neurotransmitters, which are natural chemicals that are produced by the brain to help us to think, to help us to reason, to experience things, to feel, to even worship and to even pray. All that we do as a human being is mediated through the intricate process and the delicate balance of these neurotransmitters in our brain. When I first learned that, I didn't lose my faith, but instead, I give praise to God, because no one on earth has been able to yet invent a machine that is able to do all that the human mind can do, merely by the sending of signals between one cell and another cell, mediated by these tiny, tiny, tiny amounts of chemical molecules. I know the chemists here are all getting excited, but we will not go there. That's not my expertise. But it is my privilege to be able to look at this from a spiritual perspective and say, what a wonderful creator God is, who has given us such a precious gift. And yet, the paradox of it is that because it is so delicate, it is so wonderful, it is also so delicate, God has given the brain the ability to give us mental functioning within a broad range of parameters. We can feel joy, we can feel sadness, we can feel excited, We can also feel calm. We have the whole range of emotions available to us. We can keep memories for decades and decades and decades. And we can have instant recall of certain things that are important to us. And yet, in the midst of that wonderful functioning, there is also dysfunction. Because all things have their limits. Joy go to the limit, beyond limit can become mania. Sadness go beyond the limit becomes chronic depression or major depression. Motivation and enthusiasm go beyond the limit can become bipolar disorder and so on and so forth. And our memory, we know, rare are the people who are able to keep their memory long-term and short-term sharp into their 90s. I'm beginning to lose my memory. And sometimes I go to the middle of the sentence and I do not know where to go because I can't remember why I started the sentence. So these are all part and parcel of mental illness. But the top three, as we have discovered in Singapore by this study, is major depressive disorder. This is not just sadness or bad mood. This is when you are stuck in that darkness for days and weeks and months and sometimes even years. Alcohol abuse is classified as a mental disorder. Obsessive compulsive disorder and other conditions, stress. Almost everyone has, in the course of any week, said to their friend, "Oh, very stressed." So, you know, we are entering into that area. And because of stress, sometimes people cannot sleep, insomnia. We suffer from anxiety and even in extreme case, psychosis. And many people who suffer from mental health issues, because mental health issues affect our lifestyle, affect the way we take care of ourselves, they also suffer from other chronic physical illnesses. Up to half of them have some kind of other illness as well. But here is where I want to capture your attention. While this is such an important health hazard to recognize, yet the majority of sufferers are not seeking help. Only about 22% of people who suffer from one form or one degree of mental illness or another has sought professional help. Do you think more or less people sought spiritual help? I'll give you the answer. Even less people seek spiritual help. Even there are only about 12% of them who look for a faith leader, like a pastor or some other spiritual counselor, to talk about their mental illness. To me, that is a problem because it's telling me that in church, you can talk about anything under the sun. You can talk about the weather, you can talk about politics, you can talk about economy, but you find it difficult to talk to your pastor about your own mental health. Only 12% of sufferers talk to their spiritual leaders. To me, that's a concern because it means that there is a very strong social stigma or shame that enshrouds this condition. No wonder it's become so serious and hard to deal with, because what you keep in the dark, you cannot deal with. What we are not able to talk about, we cannot find solutions. What we cannot recognize, we cannot reach out to care. And many of those who seek help only seek help after much delay. You'd be surprised to know. Typically, people seek help for mental illness between 4 to 12 years after they first experience the symptoms. If you break your leg, you'll be in the hospital this afternoon. You don't wait 4 to 12 years. And yet, when that mental functioning breaks down because of the shame and the stigma, we delay seeking help. So what are some of the things that we can do? What hope can we have? And what message do I have for you this morning? I know that my time is running, and I'm going to move quite quickly through this. I want to share three messages with you today. First is that there is only a fine line between mental health and mental illness. As I mentioned, the brain is a very capable organ, and our mind is a very beautiful thing. But it has got its limits. Within that great capacity to function, there's an edge. And once you cross that edge from health and beautiful functioning, we go into illness, we go into dysfunction. But when I say a fine line, I also mean that today, you look at me, I look very well. Do I? Don't I? Tomorrow, I may be suffering from mental illness. Or yesterday, I may be having some real serious struggles. And only by the grace of God, I'm able to stand here to be with you. In other words, it is not something that is easily recognized. And for those of us, most of us, we are well, we are able to function within a wide range of capabilities. But none of us can say that we will never be that one in eight. Even the psalmist, if you look through the psalms, like the psalm that we just read today, in Psalm 42, we hear the psalmist who once used to lead the throngs in worship, but we don't know what are his exact circumstances. But in Psalm 42, as he was writing this psalm, he was pouring out his heart. Where is God? He was in darkness. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. Constant weeping. He's in a deep and dark place. Though not long ago, he was leading the throngs in joyful celebration. It doesn't mean that he's a hypocrite. It means that as human beings, we are very fragile. And because of that, if we recognize that, then, first of all, we learn to give thanks for what we have. The ability to experience and regulate from extreme joy to extreme sadness is a wonderful thing. But there is a limit. And once you cross that line, we will become part of the one in eight Singaporeans. And just that alone will tell me that not only do I need to be more grateful for the health that I have and use it for the glory of God, I need to take care of it. But I also need to be more open to people who, perhaps due to extreme stress, beyond the ability to take it, they have slipped across that thin line. And they are there, they are still, nothing changed. They have an illness, but the illness doesn't become their identity. We don't call them mad people. We don't call them crazies or one of those derogatory names. They are people like you and me, but they are people who right now at this time is suffering from a mental challenge. The second thing I want to bring to you is that there is hope for people with mental health challenges. It is not a death sentence. Just like in Jesus' days, there were many lepers, and when you had leprosy or any form of skin disease, this is the next slide if you can bring it on. If you have leprosy or one of those skin diseases, not only are you suffering physically, but you also suffer socially because they do not know how to control the disease. So they make the people with leprosy and skin diseases live in colonies so that they will not spread the disease. So you are away from family. You experience loneliness. There's shortage of people to care for you. And religiously speaking, the greatest challenge for people with leprosy is that they cannot assemble on the Sabbath day to hear scripture being read, to pray. They cannot go to the temple for the various festivals. And for a Jewish man to not be able to be in the temple for the major feasts, it is a major a spiritual lack in their lives. Okay? But when these 10 lepers met Jesus, they call out to Jesus, have mercy on us. And I think that is how people are also crying out to God. But we are not crying out into the deep, dark unknown. The God that we cry out to, he hears us. The psalmist says, why are you down, so downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. There is hope in God. Hope begins with God. But it doesn't, when I say hope in God, I do not mean that religion in terms of prayer and worship and scripture alone is a magic bullet. When I say hope in God, God is not the God of only the church. God is not the God only when we kneel down and pray. God is God, our creator. God is a God that put us in human community. God is a God who works mightily through the power of his spirit. God is the God of both the natural and the supernatural, of both the mundane and the miraculous. That is God.
Don't limit God to the church. So there is hope in God. Because in God, not only His miraculous power works, but He's able to use technological advances, medication, counseling, different forms of therapy. Not only His knowledge flows, not only His power flows, but His love flows. His love flows through you, the people of God. When you move to care for someone with mental illness, when you give a listening ear, do not think that it is only you alone. It is God at work. Where do you find the patience to sit down and listen? It is a fruit of the Spirit. Put your hope in God. God through miracles, God through prayer, God through technology, God through counseling and therapy, God through the care of the people of God, God through that face-to-face encounter with us enables us to rise above the challenges of mental illness. And the last thing I want to leave with you is that you and I, we can all play a big part. What can we do? As I mentioned, the strong social stigma against mental illness is what is keeping it such a common and untreatable disease. But it is in fact very treatable. With the right help, with the right care and support, with prayer, as well as with medication and counseling, by God's grace, in Singapore Anglican Community Services, we have seen many people who used to languish in an acute mental hospital, able to do a sales job. You know, sales is one of the hardest things to do. I don't know, some of you are very good salesmen, I'm not. Okay? Because sales requires you to interact with people, requires you to project confidence, requires you to have your knowledge at your fingertips. One of the things that touched me most was when once we opened one of our thrift shops under Singapore Anglican Community Services, and we were there for the official opening. I went in and I greeted the lady who is running that shop. And I was so pleased to see her, because when I was serving as chaplain in Simei Care Center, she was in a very different place. She was in deep darkness. She could not conduct a conversation. But here, because we have chosen not to judge, we have chosen to care. We have chosen to give comprehensive 360-degree holistic support. This lady has been able to recover her confidence, and she's anchoring one of our centers today. So I want to encourage us, be kind to yourself. Enjoy your Sabbath. Because Sabbath is where we are restored in God, spiritually, mentally, physically as well, with one another socially as well. Don't be too harsh on ourselves when we don't meet our sales targets or whatever targets in life. Let go of some of the things that which didn't come true as you expected. And that will keep us within the range of healthy functioning and not push us to the limits and fall into illness. And when there are others in our circle of friends who may be struggling, let's be kind to one another. Let's be there to help them experience the grace of God so that we can truly experience Christ's kingdom come. Christ's kingdom is not about big names. Christ's kingdom is about God touching lives one at a time. So may the Lord bless us today as we continue to worship Him. May He strengthen us so that we may care for others. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You created us so wonderfully, and yet we are reminded that we are but flesh and bone. And even this wonderful gift of life, of joy, of the mind that You have given us has its limits. So we thank You, Father, that You are here with us. We are not without hope. So bless us that as we continue to grow in You, we will grow in our own mental health. And we will also have the faith and the love in Christ to bring hope to those who are struggling in this area. We give thanks to You and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.